I'm going to ask Walt to come up here. Where are you, Walt? We're going to move quickly through our topics this morning. Walt is going to be talking about the supplies you need to deal with disaster situations. Appreciate having you with us, Walt. Maybe you can give us just real quickly a little bit of your background, and thank you.
Good morning, y'all.
Good
morning. Y'all probably tell them not to run here. I'm from East Tennessee in Appalachian Mountains. I worked in Alpine Healthcare, River Healthcare, for 21 years. That's my training. Left that 10 years ago and went into natural healthcare. I'm also a fire chief, been in firefighting, started 30 years ago. I'm also an EMT, started that about 30 years also ago. Does anybody have a lighter here? A lighter? Anybody have a lighter? They got a match?
Yeah.
Good. All right. If someone could get a match from her and bring it on up. What I'd like to do is to share about disaster preparedness. And as a fire chief, one of the biggest things I can do to keep my men safe is prepare. And we do a lot of training. Whether it's whether we're working a car wreck, a car fire, hazardous material, whatever it is, thank you. Training is critical. And part of training is being prepared. Whether I'm going into a school to protect children, whether we have a bus wreck or whatever it is, my guys have to be trained and prepared. If I don't know the floor plan on that school, how do I know how to go in, how much hose line I have to take in, how do I know where the chemistry department is, how do I know what chemicals are in the chemistry department? Some things you don't put water on. And the same is true as we look at being prepared for the future. 2 weeks ago, I went over to Nashville to a fire chiefs meeting, and we were looking at being prepared for natural disasters in Tennessee with our what we call mutual aid program. And would you like to know what Tennessee mutual aid right now is really concerned about? What? An earthquake. Right now, Tennessee is very susceptible for an earthquake. And so as we talked as fire chiefs across the state of Tennessee, we were very concerned on are we prepared for that? Are we ready to deal with an earthquake? Y'all are great at it. Y'all know what to do about earthquakes. We don't know what to do in Tennessee, so we got to learn. But as those scientists are monitoring the ground, Tennessee, they tell us, Tennessee's about to have a big one. You wouldn't think of that, but it's being prepared. If I can figure this thing out here. You want to pre-plan on different things. You've got general type of things. You have medical. You've got fire. Earthquake, tornado, car. You've got economics. If you didn't have a job today, are you prepared?
Nope.
Financially. Are you prepared if there's a national problem? Economically, are you prepared? But I'm just going to talk about fire real quick, but I'm going to mostly speak about medical. As we look at moving out of the country, a lot of folks are scared of moving into the country. They're not wildland fires or whatever. What do I do about a fire? And it's not a fire, it's right down the street. Well, I've got something here that I'm going to show you in a few minutes that really works pretty neat. And it's called FireEyes. And I can take a 1,000-gallon fire truck, and I can turn that into equal to 10,000 gallons of water. I can take this bottle right here and put it in 2.5 gallons of water, and I can put out a car fire. I can take this here and I can spray it on the outside of the house, and a wildland fire comes up to your house, it will not settle, it will not catch on fire for up to 24 hours. Actually, it can go almost 3 days, but it's tested at 24 hours. Fire, F-I-R-E-I-C-E. You can put it in a squirter in your kitchen, and if you have a kitchen fire, on your stove. But as I'm mixing this up, let's continue on. I'm going to talk about health issues. But let's talk a little bit about dental. You want to store in easy-to-carry containers, such as 2 5-gallon buckets. And what I'm going to mention here will go into a 5 gallon bucket, and we'll work.
And we're looking at two of these buckets right here. You can put this in,
and that will
be your carrying case.
Here's some things that you would want to have. I'm going to go fast, so you want to take a look here real quick. A battery-powered radio and flashlight, along with plenty of extra batteries. Basic first aid kit. Extra pair of prescription glasses, if you have prescription glasses. A supply of water, 1 gallon per person per day. Store water in sealed, unbreakable containers. Identify storage date and replace every 6 months. A supply of non-perishable food. And non-electric can opener. You want to get into that, those cans. Plus any special foods that you may require from a health standpoint. You may need foods that are higher in potassium if you're having some issues there. Whatever your special needs are. If you're a diabetic and you want specific issues there. If you have a baby, include extra diapers and other infant care. How about your animal? Do you have food for your animals if something happens? Change of clothing, rain gear, sturdy shoes if you need to do some walking. Blankets and or sleeping bags, extra set of car keys. If you lose your car keys, what happens to you and when you're concerned, you're running or whatever, or you're excited, have an extra set of car keys in here. Utility razor knife, multifunction tool, duct tape, road atlas, small stove, extra fuel, phone card and coin, plastic silverware, cups, dishes, rope, 50-foot rope. All this will fit in within two of these guys right here. Wash cloth, hand towels, soap, liquid all-purpose works pretty good there. Disposable razors, female hygiene products, mirror and comb, tissue, toilet paper, rubber bands, safety pins, chapstick, Ziploc and plastic bags, and a small plastic tarp. Now, why do you think you want a plastic tarp?
Water.
Pardon?
You
may want to lay down on it and keep it dry. You may want to use it for collecting water. There's a number of things you can use that tarp for. Medical. Now, Dave talked about training, and training is so very important. And I would strongly encourage y'all to take a first aid course. I'm a Red Cross instructor. I teach first aid. Take a first aid class. They're easy. It's a 4-hour class. And it will really help you, and if something happens to a family member, or if you're going along and someone else gets hurt, you have some knowledge of how to stabilize as a first responder. Learn CPR, y'all. How many of y'all know CPR? It's critical. Critical for your family, critical for someone else. It's so simple. Something you can do to help save a life. You can take an EMT course, wilderness EMT, or that's acute diseases. Acute diseases is something that happens fast, maybe something you think of the emergency room. A chronic disease is something that takes over a period of time. You think of COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. That's something that takes over time. Heart disease and things like that take a while. And so there's things you can use in training, hydrotherapy, massage, and herbal techniques, to deal with chronic diseases, chronic issues. And you know what? When somebody is not doing well, and Dave mentioned it, if you want to help somebody, if you need to barter with somebody, and they've got someone that's sick in the family, they're going to barter real good. You know what I'm saying? It's amazing. I worked in healthcare, like I said, for 20 years. I was very involved in protocol development and patient care. Protocols, and also in developing systems to monitor the outcomes of patient protocols. And so I can tell you, I know protocol, I know patient outcomes in allopathic healthcare using, you know, your typical healthcare. I left that 10 years ago, as I said. I'm still involved on a national level, still monitoring protocol. I'm an outcome indicator, so I still know what's going on out there. But I changed over to lifestyle. And why did I do that? Because they were blowing our doors off. They're having much more success in reversing diabetes, reversing cardiovascular disease, even cancer. We're having tremendous results as we deal with that on a natural level. And I'm not having to patch something that has side effects. I'm not having to put a patch on top of a patch on top of a patch. We're getting a root cause, and we're changing that. And so training is very important. Hydrotherapy, massage, and herbal treatment. What type of therapy got to do it? We'll talk about that this afternoon. Massage, therapeutic massage is tremendous. Herbs, wow. We'll talk about that this afternoon also.
Here's some things you can put in your medical bag. I say charcoal, clove oil, cayenne pepper, either powder in the tincture. We'll talk about that this afternoon. Pine sap, wild lettuce. If you got pain, wild lettuce is phenomenal. We were able to give it to our patients with bone cancer, and we didn't have to give them any more morphine. Tremendous for pain. Epsom salt, olive oil, golden seal powder, myrrh powder, oil of oregano. Guys, if you have a cold coming on, just take you about 4 drops of oil of oregano, stick it under your tongue for about 2 hours, it goes away. It's tremendous, tremendous. This is something you get now, that's what we put inside these two fellows here. Now you're looking at a day pack or a backpack. This is what you can put in there. That's something that you can move away from these guys if you need to and do something. 2 quarts of water in a canteen, small water purifier, extra silver cartridges, water education table, colloquial silver generator. That's where you can make your own colloquial silver. Colloquial silver is tremendous for immune system. I like it for burns. How many of y'all know what silverdine is? Mm-hmm. We use silverdine in healthcare for our patients who got burns. Excellent. It's silver. Well, colloidal silver would do very similar. You can make your own with a generator kit. Large pocket knife, large sheath knife, diamond knife sharpener, small flashlight next to batteries, machete or hand axe, folding saw and shovel, cotton or nylon belt, pocket Bible. Is it important to keep in touch with God even during a disaster? Maybe even more during a disaster. Survival blanket. I want to tell you a story. About several years ago, when back in around 1991, my director of nurses, her husband was over in Iraq. He came back on leave and he brought me a little Bible that was a little pocket New Testament, and the outside was camouflage. And I said, "Why is it camouflage?" He said, "Because you're not allowed to have Bibles over one of them places over there." And the Muslims didn't like our Bibles, and so they gave our fellows, the military did, Bibles that were camouflage. We still need that Bible, y'all. Very much so. Survival blanket, heat reflector, waterproof matches, magnesium fire starter, flint and steel, disposable lighter, long burning candles, small magnifying glass, binoculars or monocular, a whistle, compass and local map, stainless steel pot or cup, trail mix, and granola, dried fruit and nuts, windbreaker, large bandana, poncho, parachute cord, that 50 feet at a minimum, netting or face net for bugs, cap, scarf, gloves, wool or neoprene socks, weather proof jackets and boots, plastic drop cloth, and a small first aid kit. All of that will fit in a little bitty pack. When my fellow's going to a house fire, Nick, can you help me? When my guy's going to a house fire, I actually load them up with the air pack is $5,000. The turnout are going to run, and the helmet's going to run somewhere between $2,000 and $2,500 just for the clothes they're wearing. I've got to have those guys totally prepared to go into the house fire Friday. I just got here on the airplane, and I get a phone call from one of my sons and said, "Walter, my oldest son, has gone to a large fire in town, a large construction company, large. And he went in, and he had two jobs. One job was to protect a building inside, a building within a building. It was 12 by 12, and you know what it was full of? Dynamite. And there my son was, protecting that dynamite from blowing up in a building that was fully involved in fire. Plus, he had to protect a big old fuel tank. Well, fortunately, my son was trained, and he concentrated on that room with dynamite, felt that was more dangerous if it blew up than the fuel tank. Fuel tank blew up, blew him out the door, but he's okay. But training is so important. Being prepared is so important. And I just can't say more about it. We're going to try something here. Let's see if my hand will burn. Can you help do that?
Yeah, it's a fire, right?
Isn't that amazing?
You dipped it in there.
Go a little closer.
You put that flame on it. Look at that.
Isn't that, y'all see that?
Yeah.
Here's another new thing about it. Vibrate. I encourage you to be prepared. Being prepared is so important. And we'll get more into that this afternoon, but we'll go ahead and go on at this point. Yes?
Where,
you'll find it right out there.
Okay.
Thank you.